This is Stacking the Box with NFL insider Matt Bertaram and Mark Carman. We are one day away from the 2021 NFL schedule, which is always one of, I think it's like top 7 day in your career per year, Matt Bertaram, if that makes sense. Where do you rank the schedule release?
That's a good question. It's not higher than any NFL Sunday, so it can't go up there. But
okay. All right. So hold on a second. There are 17 NFL Sundays. Plus the playoffs. Okay. So now we're at 21. Excuse me. The Super Bowl, that's 22.
We count the Super Bowl. That's
part of the playoffs. Oh, we counted the 21? Thank you very much. Math is very challenging right now for me. So, okay. So we're at 21. Now, what about Thursdays? Thursday game versus the schedule release.
Thursday, I'm liking Thursday and Monday. So now we're not even in top 50. But we're not.
Okay.
But I mean, that being said, I enjoy free agency more than anything in the offseason. But I like this more than the draft. I'll tell you right now.
You've been battling it out over there, Bertaram. I feel like you're in work schedule grind mode. I feel like you're a little bit of a rundown Bertaram today.
I'll bring the energy, but I am. I mean, look, I'm on vacation next week, which I'm really looking forward to. And then I'm on vacation for Memorial Day weekend. And then I'm on vacation for about 3 weeks, late June, early July. And then I'm on vacation for a week in August. And I got to tell you, I need every bit of it.
See, I don't hold you like that, Bertaram. I feel like you need no vacation. You're a 365-day-a-year guy, if need be. You just, it's part of your strategy to... You do it for Maisie. You do it for Steph. You do it for your family. You could grind every single day. That's the Bertaram I know.
Well, I do it for them. That is true. But you know, I'll say this, and this probably isn't the wisest thing to say on a podcast that's run by Fansided, since they are employing us. Look, I love working at Fansided. I really do. I've been here 6 years, and I enjoy it more now than I ever have. And that's the honest God's truth. But, you know, I get along really, really well with my in-laws, by the way, before I say this. So it's not like some kind of a slam on them. But they are in their early 60s. And I think they'll happily work for as long as they possibly can. Like, that's just what they want to do. And that's cool. Like, they're educators. God bless them, right? Like, good for them.
Here comes Bertaram retirement.
The absolute second I can retire, I'm gone. Like, I really am trying financially to set up. So I got about 20 years left to work. And then I'm just done.
What are you going to do?
Play golf, get into coaching.
All right. I want you to call me up in 20 years if for some odd reason we're not doing the podcast at that time. And I want you to tell me, Carm, you were right. I was wrong. I love my work. There's nothing, whatever it is that you'll be doing at that time, whether it's this or something else, I predict that Bertaram will not give up what he's doing because he'll just be that passionate about it.
I'm getting out of the business.
I don't know. Life's lots of things can happen. Maybe you'll be in the business. Maybe you'll be out of the business. But my prediction is that the Matt Bertaram I know, and I'm not saying I know you better than you know yourself, but I'm predicting that you will not be comfortable just relaxing to the golf course. I do not see that for you. That's not the Bertaram I have in my distant future predictions.
I want to be drinking an Arnold Palmer at 10 a.m. on a Tuesday. I want to be playing golf, shooting a 95 if I'm lucky.
Hey, I believe that. And this summer, I'm going to come out to Rockford. We'll play around, buddy.
That's, there you go. That's great. It's on me. You come to Rockford, I'll pay for it. But it's not, you know what? To get back to the question at hand, though, look, I do enjoy the schedule only because the draft to me is just 4 months of just absolute nonsense. And then it happens. And like the first couple of rounds, I'm invested. It's cool. And then by round, like the middle of round three, I'm done. I'm done. I don't care. Unless you're a hardcore draft nerd, you don't care either. Like, it doesn't matter. Let me rephrase. It matters because you could certainly get very good players as the days go on and get a lot of value there. But in terms of like nobody knows, hey, we got a draft hit in the fourth round. You don't know that, right? Like, you don't, you're not going to know until these guys start playing. So again, if you're a hardcore draftnik and that's what you do and you love it, then obviously, look, that's great. For me, it's more work than it's worth. I enjoy free agency because you know what a team's getting, you know, as they're getting it.
Anybody who says they enjoy day two and three of the draft more than day one,
the hideous monster.
They're just lying. Day one is the greatest. It's the most, by far the most exciting, the most interesting, all of it. That is great television. Day two and three, it's just like football fans, like, yeah, well, I got nothing better to do. I'm just going to stare at the screen all day long and get super excited about the cornerback we just picked in the fifth round. And I'm going to do a deep dive on him and found out that he had a phenomenal performance in week five. And his mom pushed him when he was 7 years old. And that was really cool. And his brother, by the way, is a comedian, and that's sweet. But that's where you have to appreciate the diehard football fan. Speaking of, by the way, Verderam, after the draft, I know you do your power rankings. Have you figured out where everybody's slotted here, your top five, as we kind of segue into the schedule here?
Yes, you know, I actually sat down and stacked in the box my column that I run every Monday on FanSided. And I have power rankings in every single one of them. But usually there's something like kind of off the wall. I mean, not always, but sometimes it'll be like the top 10 stadiums that are no longer here, or the top 10 players in Tecmo Super Bowl, right? Or like something that just is like, it's funny, it's interesting, whatever. But the one after the draft, I actually just sat down and did. Here are the teams I think are the top 10 as we move out of the draft, out of the main crux of free agency, so on and so forth. And so I've got one, Kansas City, obviously two-time defending AFC title or AFC champions. I just think the Chiefs got better this offseason. I think the main thing they had to do was fix the line. They might have even overkilled that, but they certainly did it. Added Jerron Reed. I don't think they lost any real critical piece. I mean, like they lost Eric Fisher and Mitch Schwartz, but I think as a whole, that line is now better. So they replaced those losses. Sammy Watkins, to me, at this point, they weren't losing much. Breshad Breeland is the biggest loss I think they've had that they haven't really filled, but he's still out there. And my understanding last time I spoke to certain sources is that is still a possibility for a reunion. So they're number one. Number two, I've got Tampa. Tampa, obviously, Super Bowl champ, brought back everybody. The reason I don't have Tampa number one is – I do believe that health is typically a year-to-year thing in the NFL. If you're really healthy one year, you're usually not the next if you go and look at historical trends. The Buccaneers were unbelievably healthy last year. They have a lot of guys who have a history of getting hurt. They're also an older team. Brady's 44. Ndamukong Suh, Jason Pierre-Paul, right? All these, a lot. I mean, you go on down the list. Gronkowski, Antonio Brown. A lot of these guys are on the other side of 30. I think they'll be very good, but I do have hesitancy. And Brady last year, while he was good, was not great. They won the Super Bowl because of their defense, not because of Tom Brady. So I do, though, think they do remain the best team in the NFC. Now, third, I have Buffalo. I think Buffalo is basically the same team it was a year ago. They you know, we'll see how the draft impacts them. They added a couple edge rushers. I thought that was a number one need. Kudos to Brandon Bean for doing so. But I have them at three. I think they're the top challenger in the AFC. I put the Packers at four. Now, obviously, that's for now because we have no idea what's going to happen with Rodgers. But for now, number four, I don't like that they lost Corey Linsley. I don't like that they didn't upgrade the defense. But they went 13-3 each of the past 2 years. They're really good. If Rodgers is there, they'll be a contender. Number five was the Seattle Seahawks. I know that was a weird offseason, but they added Gabe Jackson. They added Gerald Everett, a tight end, who I like. They kept Russell Wilson. I don't like that they lost Shaquille Griffin, but overall, they're my number five. And I will just say quickly, I debated a few teams in that spot. The other two teams were AFC teams, and they were Cleveland at six and Baltimore at seven.
What's interesting to me, and good job running it down here, let's look at what the public thinks. And by the public, I mean, where's the money coming in?
Yep.
On the sports books. Top five teams by the amount of bets, not the money, but the just chronological number. Who do you think is number one?
To win the Super Bowl?
Yep.
Kansas City.
The Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The Chiefs are fourth.
Okay.
Who do you now?
That surprises me. Honestly.
This is by now. Remember, these are fans who, so you consider rabid fan bases who like to put money on their team. And these, and again, this is by bet, so it could be a $5 bet. But I'll just give them to you. The number two is the San Francisco 49ers.
I was going to guess Dallas just because of the size of the fan base.
Yeah. Which I still think the Niners, that seems crazy to me. Number three is the Cleveland Browns. And then the Chiefs are four and the Packers are five. Now, okay. A little bit better, I think. Slightly.
How much money is on either one?
Yeah. So number one is?
Is it Kansas City?
It's the Buccaneers. Most people.
Okay.
So people are buying into the back to. Yeah. Kansas City second.
Okay.
The Niners are third. The Browns hanging strong at number four. The Packers get knocked out of there, and the fifth team, you mentioned them. I think you mentioned them in your back end. Who was your 6 and 7?
Cleveland, Baltimore.
Okay, you didn't mention them. I'm sorry. The Los Angeles Rams.
I did not mention them. No, yeah. I have concerns about Stafford staying healthy, and I just kind of a weird team. Offensive line's not great, but we'll see.
Yeah. So there you have it there, buddy. I look, to me, Kansas City is a clear and away favorite. I don't think it's close. I am not. I would take the Packers over the Bucs in the NFC. And I leaning more and more to making a bigger bet on Buffalo as your second team in the AFCs. So and then from the fifth spot, you can wild card that up however you want. Really.
I will quickly say this about Cleveland because I'm really high on Cleveland. Like I think they're third best team in the conference. I think they could possibly get to the AFC title game. Here's my big concern with the Browns, though. If I'm trying to play it even the other way, I don't know that Mayfield has the leveling up in him that we saw from Josh Allen. Like, and I think he's going to have to do that for them to get to the AFC title game, to get to a Super Bowl. They're not getting to the Super Bowl with Mayfield being an average quarterback, which he was last year. Okay. The other concerns I have, they went 11-5 last season. They had a negative point differential. That typically A is almost impossible. And B is a little bit of a indicator that a team may be played over its head. Okay. Finally, last point here, their wins last season. Here are the wins. Cincinnati, Washington, Dallas, Indy at home. Good, okay, playoff team, good one. Bengals, Texans, Eagles, Jaguars, Titans, good win. Giants, Steelers when they were playing all their backups. And then obviously the playoff game.
Right.
Like, when they played most of the good teams they played on the schedule, when they played Pittsburgh on the road in the regular season, when they played Baltimore twice, in two of those three games, they lost all three, but in two of them they got hammered. Like, that is the concern that I have is now you play a schedule this year that is not as easy. Okay. You're still playing, which will help them. You're playing a third place schedule. Okay. So it's not as though their schedule is brutally hard, but you do have a schedule here where you still play. Of course you play Pittsburgh and Baltimore twice each. All right. You also play the AFC West. So you're at Arrowhead. All right. You are at the Chargers and it's a tough game. You are at the Packers. You are at the Vikings. You are at the Pats. You host the Cardinals. You host the Bears, who I think the Bears now with Fields, if he's playing it, are a much different team. That is a hard schedule. So while I do like Cleveland, I am high on Cleveland. That is my one concern, is that the combination of all those things conspires against him. But we'll see.
Yeah. Look, let's just say for argument's sake that the Browns actually get there. And how much better do you think Baker has to be? Like if you were going to percentage, like.
Well, I don't also, I'll put it this way. I think he's got to get himself. For what's the question? For them to get to the Super Bowl?
Yeah. For them to be a Super Bowl team, how much.
He's got to be a top eight quarterback.
Okay. Do you think he's capable of doing that?
I think it's a stretch. I like them.
Clearly.
I think that's a team that should get to the divisionals. And I look at them a lot of the same way the Chiefs, the way I looked at the Chiefs and they had Alex Smith. they were a very good team. They're very well coached, had a really good roster, but you always looked at them and just said, I don't know if that quarterback is going to get them over the hump. And it's the same way. Like, the problem in the NFL now, and Carm, you know this. I mean, you're a Bears fan. You know this as much as anybody. I knew this all the way up until the Chiefs got Mahomes. Like, if you don't have that elite quarterback, you are at a disadvantage, significantly so come January. And that, let's face it, if you, as a Bears fan, that's why you and everybody else is so excited about drafting Justin Fields. Because he gives you that chance.
Well, that's why I'm doing. That's why I'm doing the math here on how good you think their roster is, that Baker can just be top 15, even top 20, because they're just that efficient putting the ball on the ground, and their defense is that good. And you saying that they need to be top 8 doesn't sound like you believe they are. Aside from the fact that they're competing against a very good Buffalo team, a Super Bowl favorite in Kansas City. I mean, it just feels like a pretty steep climb for Cleveland. I get the excitement, but they could they could just as easily be a non-playoff team.
Like betting them to win the Super Bowl to me is just, I like the value because, and I don't know if they have great value with the odds that they have, but I just think in the end, are they better than Kansas City? No. And by the way, you're going to hear people say, well, you know, they took them to the wire in the playoffs. No, they didn't. Kansas City was blowing their doors off until Mahomes got hurt in that game. And then the Chiefs ended up holding on and winning the game. The Chiefs beat them in a playoff game in which Chad Henne played half the game. I mean, that's how I look at it. Buffalo is, if the Chiefs are healthy, the only team in the AFC that I think can beat them is Buffalo. And by the way, let me say, not that I think like if both played their best, Buffalo could beat them. Like Buffalo would need the Chiefs to play an average game. And I think that Buffalo playing its best game would have a shot. But I think, we saw that game as well twice last year, and the Chiefs hammered them twice. I know we're going to see stuff on the – and, you know, actually, here, we'll move on because we're going to get into some of this stuff later. But there are some other teams we'll talk about as well.
Yeah, and look, the biggest story in the NFL right now still remains what's going to happen with Aaron Rodgers, and Devontae Adams is talking about – well, yeah, I'm a free agent at the end of next year, and sure, it would matter. I'm not saying 100% that I would leave, but yes, and he has talked to Aaron, and there's a lot going on, and the Packers apparently are coming up with another a different offer that perhaps Aaron will be super excited about. I mean, I think we all know how this is going to play out, even though a lot of people are acting like they don't know what's going to happen. If I had to bet, and I would bet a significant amount of dough on it, that Aaron Rodgers is going to wear the green and gold. There is going to be – if I had to bet on if he gets a contract extension and they figure that out or they don't, I'd bet that the answer to that is yes. I'll bet they'll trade Jordan Love. I think that's absolutely the way I think that it's going to go. But right now it does seem like he's fairly dug in, and, you know – We'll have to wait and see. Is he going to show up to OTAs? Is he not going to show up to OTAs?
Oh, there's no way he's showing up to OTAs.
Okay. Then right?
Camp is where I'm looking at.
Right. Is he going to show up to camp?
Yeah.
Is he going to, I'm guessing maybe he doesn't, and he'll take some fines and assume the Packers will make good on it. And I bet you they will when he comes in all happily and he's got his extension and whatnot. That's how I think it's going to go. If they don't want to trade him, if you're Green Bay, for the record, you went and drafted Jordan Love. You traded up 4 spots to do it. You were planning for your future. You think you're a great organization. It's not just all Aaron, and it's not all Favre's story was different, but it's not all Favre back in the day. So now rubber hits the road. Yeah, Aaron went MVP last year, which ups the ante and makes it even worse for you. But you're doubling down, in essence, almost against yourself by doing it this way. Stand up there and be proud, Green Bay. You think you're right. You made this move. Aaron's getting older. You're going to have to move on at some point. There's got to be huge value out for you. I'm not saying it's the right thing to do, but from their standpoint, it's like, hey, man, you dug your grave in this. Move along. Now, I think they're going to go the other way because they realize that was completely idiotic. But on some level, there would be at least a little bit of respect for me if you were like, you know what, this is what we saw, this is what we believe in, this is why we did it, and we're moving forward.
So I mostly agree with you, okay? I think it's an interesting situation that's not going to go away anytime soon. And I also think, look, if you're the Packers, like hearing Davante Adams say that, first of all, that cannot be a shock. Okay. Yeah. No, of course it would matter who his quarterback is. Like he'd like to keep putting up numbers. But I think if you're the Packers hearing that, you're like, man, we probably can't trade this dude. Like it made me even dig in more on my stance, which I've had since jump, that they're not going to trade him this season. They're not. They'd be insane. And I know, and you and I, by the way, are fighting up the current on this one because most people around the league, including very well-respected ones like Peter King, believe he's gone. He's going to get traded. And I have all the respect in the world for Peter King and so many others who feel that way. I just disagree. I just do not think they're going to move off him. And I want to make this point. I made this point on a radio spot a few days ago. I think it matters. The Packers run like any other organization in sports. They don't have an owner. There is no owner who's public conscious, who's worried about everything that's being said on the outside. Mark Murphy and Brian Gutekunst are football guys. They don't care. So I think it would matter more, this whole PR side of it, with Rodgers back channeling his discontent, if they had a real owner. They don't have an owner. There's nobody forcing the hand of Murphy and Gutekunst here. Nobody. So I do think that's a point that should be brought up that, frankly, I haven't heard brought up anywhere else. Maybe it has been brought up, but I think it does matter. Now, I will say I did find this interesting. Bob McGinn, who is as plugged into the Packers as anybody, wrote for The Athletic that the Packers offered earlier this offseason, offered Rodgers a contract that would have made him the highest paid quarterback in football, higher than Mahomes, and he told them no. So that's, I mean, that is not great for our side of the argument, to be transparent. Like if he's willing to turn down that kind of money, but it also does not mean that the Packers can't just say, look, that's your problem. We're not dealing you. It's going to be a fascinating few months.
Right. At the end of the day, if they don't want to deal him,
he's not going anywhere.
Right. Let's state the obvious. That's why you listen to Stack in the Box, because I'm bringing up the point that they don't have to deal him. But that's the end of the day. That's the whole thing. They don't have to. So he's going to have a come to Jesus moment and realize, you know what? I've had it pretty good playing at Lambeau Field. You know what? I'm a pretty cool guy here. And it's, by the way, yeah, I was in the NFC Championship game. And yeah, it sucked to see Tom Brady leave New England. And I always felt like I was better than Tom Brady, but yet he was playing with Belichick. So that's why he won. And to see him go to Tampa Bay and win a Super Bowl is something that honestly, right now, I can't sleep at night with. And I want to prove to everybody else that I could do the same damn thing, because I still think, despite what everybody else thinks, that I'm a better quarterback than Tom Brady. I really think this is what's underneath all of this to me. You know, he wants to call his own shot. He wants to prove that he can do it. And it absolutely burned the living daylights out of him that they lost that game to Brady at home nonetheless. And he's got to live with it. But reality is reality, bro. And as amazing as you are, and I guess you could say, well, fine, I'm not going to show up, but okay, there's going to be huge consequences for, you know, for him for that. And everybody, despite being super, super rich, everybody wants to have more money in life, so eventually that'll be a factor. All right, I jumped ahead in the rundown here, Vertarem.
I switched it up, so we're good.
Let's pause for a quick second here so we can pay some bills. We're right back with Stacking the Box. Let's, as far as the schedule, anything you want to touch on that we haven't hit so far before we get into the future?
No, I mean, look, I think, you know, real quick, just for anyone who's not aware, we already know the opponents for each team, where the games are going to be played. We just don't know the times and the dates. But I will say, here's what I look for when the NFL schedule release comes out, because I actually think this is really important. Like, people always laugh, like, oh, who cares? I think it matters. Like, does your team have a 3-game road trip? If you're going to play Buffalo, is it in December or September? I also firmly believe you would far prefer to play harder teams on your schedule early in the year than later. I know people say, well, get off to a fast start. Listen, your chances of beating Aaron Rodgers or Mahomes or Wilson are better in September and October, because as you get into November, December, and those teams start sniffing the finish line and looking at the playoff race, it becomes much harder to beat them. And on the flip side, real quick, I'd far prefer to play a bad team late because they're out of the race. They're checked out in some cases. If guys have a bump and a bruise that they might play through if they were in the race, they probably won't if they're playing later in the year and the game doesn't matter. So those are the things I look for. What team has home games late? What team has bad weather games looming late? How do the good team, bad team, how do they split on the schedule? I think all that stuff matters.
I agree. And then, of course, there's the, again, obvious point that I'll make. You just don't know how injuries are going to fall. So sometimes when you end up getting a team later in the year, it's two or in the middle of the year, it's a huge advantage that you cannot predict right now. But look, I love going through it 1-0, 1-1, 1-2, 1-7, Bears. Finally make the switch to Justin Fields, 2-7, 3-7, 9-7, make the playoffs, Fields, MVP, Bears win the Super Bowl, make a bet on the Bears, go outside, out of nowhere pick. But it's just fun to see how it's going to map out. Oh, sweet. And then if you're, you know, an NFL fan, as we get back to normal here with our worlds, I am going to make this road trip to this place and see the Bears play here in whenever. That's just fun. I enjoy it. Okay. Let's go into the future. Division that will be the best this year. We just had Juju Smith-Schuster on, and he loves the AFC North, but I think you're going somewhere different.
Yeah, I mean, he's allowed to be wrong.
It's not a bad call.
It's not. I think it's probably second. The NFC West is the best division of football. The NFC West is ridiculous. You could really make an argument all those teams will make the playoffs. I wouldn't make that argument, but you could. You could do it.
I said that to him as he was talking about. He's like, man. I mean, you look at the Steelers, you look at us, and look, I'm back on a prove it deal, and I'm pissed about it, but I'm going to be awesome. And then the Ravens and the Browns, and then the Bengals, right?
Yeah,
exactly. So I'm like, dude, what about the West? Seattle, the Rams, the Cardinals, Niners. He's like, oh. That's tough. So I think at the end of the day, he was like giving love to home base, but actually agreed, which all four teams making the playoffs would be very, very interesting. I'm assuming that if you're saying it like that, you think that Trey Lance is not playing at all and Garoppolo's playing all year.
I think, yeah, mostly. Right. But look, you think of that about the NFC, one team out of the East. If the Packers trade Rodgers and we're wrong, you could very well get one team out of that division. And then the Bucs in the South. I mean,
I think you could get one team out of the North, even if the Packers keep Rodgers.
Possible. Right. So now the hard part of that is those teams in the NFC West are going to beat the hell out of each other.
Right.
That's where it gets hard. But could I see a scenario where you have 13-4, 12-5, 10-7, 10-7? Yeah, I could. I mean, that is a ridiculous division. It is the antithesis of the NFC East, where if anyone gets to 9 wins, they should stop the season and throw a parade.
I mean, do we think that any team in the South is going to be over 500 other than the Bucs? I mean,
maybe New Orleans.
It'd be a huge drop off for the Saints, who missed Breeze a ton last year and still went 12-4. But, you know, that's still a major, major transition there. And who knows what Chicago will do when you look at the North. And I mean, does anybody feel comfortable betting on a Minnesota Vikings team to be anything better than 7-9, 8-8? I don't. And what's Detroit? I actually don't mind the Lions' future. I think they actually seem like their
future's good, but they are absolutely abominable this year.
Right. They're not in there. So who do you think the Bucs play in week one, Verderam?
Buffalo. So to run it down for the fine folks who are listening, okay, let me pull it up real quick. Here are the teams that they could be playing. They have 8 home games, 9 on the road this year for the NFC. All right, here are the home games. Atlanta, Carolina, New Orleans, Dallas, the Giants, Buffalo, Miami, Chicago. I will argue that it is between Buffalo and Dallas. Dallas obviously is a huge draw because of who they are. I don't think they'll open up with Miami. I don't think they'll open up with the Bears. If the Bears are playing Fields, maybe. But, they, of course, don't know that. I think Buffalo is the best of those teams. And you get Josh Allen. You get, the Bills fan base against Brady. So I will say Buffalo, but Dallas was the other consideration for me.
I would be disappointed if it's the Cowboys. Buffalo would be a ton of fun. That would be – I really am just interested to see – hey, Josh Allen, you were great last year. Are you going to continue to get better? Because I think everybody looks at him and you see this, the raw physical tools, and it looks – to me, and I – outside of – I'm not even talking about him throwing the football – just his ability to when he has to run, how much yards he's able to pick up it. He just, it's like, there's not a lot of that dude running around right now. So
yeah,
if he keeps on lifting, getting better and better, man, that team Buffalo, you've deserved this for a long, long time out there. You Bills fans, you, and I, he keeps on going further and further. I go all the way back to when Verderam, you torched him back in the day, that thought he was going to be an inaccurate bust.
Yes.
And he was.
And then he really stepped up. He was great last season.
He was, and then he keeps on working. And guys like that, I mean, they're easy to root for. You got a sleeper you want to name in the NFC/AFC?
Yeah, so here, got one in each conference. And I'm going to preface both of these. I'm not picking these teams as sleepers that, like, they're going to win the Super Bowl. Sleepers is in. I could see them making the playoffs. I'm far more confident in my AFC pick than my NFC pick. So I'll start with the NFC, which is Atlanta. I love the offense. Ryan, Julio Jones, Ridley, now Kyle Pitts. It's a lot. It's a lot. And I think Arthur Jones is going to do a nice job there as a head coach, at least on the offensive side. Okay. My concern with them is the defense, which I don't think can stop anybody, okay? Which is why I don't have a ton of confidence. But I looked at the NFC, and I don't think anybody in the NFC West is a sleeper. If you want to call the Niners a sleeper, then that's who I pick. But as you mentioned, there's so much money on them for the Super Bowl, I don't think you can call them a sleeper. And I think that division also, by the way, the NFC South, that is, Carolina's not great. New Orleans doesn't have Breeze anymore, right? So maybe there's a little bit of a vacuum there Atlanta can take advantage of. In the AFC, I think the Chargers are the most interesting one, but I will push back right now against things I've already seen at two different big outlets. Chargers could be a Super Bowl team this year. No, they cannot be. Just stop. I love Herbert, and I think that they have enough offensively to be good offensively. Defensively, I do think they've lost a good amount of pieces. Now, they might get Derwin James back if he's ever healthy. We will see. They lost Perriman. They lost Hayward. Ingram's a free agent. They could still bring him back. As of now, they've lost him. And offensively, Hunter Henry's gone. They didn't replace him. So why do I like him? I like him because Herbert. And I think the Raiders stink. And the Broncos, to me, if they don't have a quarterback, while the rest of that roster's talented, I don't think they've got enough to be better than the Chargers. So the Chargers can win four games if they play well right there. I think the Chargers could go like 9-8 and be a playoff team. But I do not believe for 1 second these people that think they're going to go 13-4 and go to the Super Bowl. That is a bridge way too far for me.
So you don't think Julio's going anywhere, I'm assuming?
I think it's hard, man. He's got a huge deal. It's going to be hard for them to move him. Possible, but I think it'd be hard.
All right. AFC sleeper. This feels really off, but I'm going to do it. I'm going to give you the Indianapolis Colts and big bad Carson Wentz coming in and just having a year where, oh, he was actually completely impacted in Philadelphia and it was unfair and he's healthy and Indy knows what they're doing and they know how to use him and reuniting, there we go, it was just absolutely perfect, and Indy got it right. NFC wise, like, I really want to say the Chicago Bears. Like, it's just going to become obvious that Justin Fields is ready to play and Matt Nagy's going to pull the trigger. Who's quarterbacking the Washington football team?
Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Fitzpatrick is going to quarterback Washington.
Yeah, it's not good. Not good.
I mean, I wanted
to pick them so badly, and I was like, I can't. They don't
Like, that's really what's happening there. That's amazing. I don't know. Should I go big and just say that the New York Giants are getting a healthy Saquon back?
Not a bad pick.
Daniel Jones goes next level Daniel Jones, whatever that exactly is. I mean, they had the worst offensive line, absolute terrible protection last year. Maybe they protect him a little bit better. Okay.
Not a bad pick. Got some help in Adoree Jackson defensively. I don't hate it.
Yeah, all right, let's do it. I'll roll with the New York Giants in a very, very odd NFC right now. Because I don't think you can not taking anybody out of the North, and I don't really anybody out of the West seems boring. So it's almost like it has to come out of the East. Dallas doesn't seem like that much of a sleeper, and a very bizarre just time it seems right now with the Cowboys and everything that's going on down there as far as Jerry Jones wanting guys to get vaccinated and some odd comments coming out from players that perhaps we'll talk about at another time. All right. Let us move along here, Vertaram. And by the way, I'm very excited as we get to our what's going on later, because I'm talking to a very famous person today after we get off this podcast. So we've got about 5 minutes left to play here. Let me go biggest bus candidates. You actually have who I just named as a sleeper as one of your busts.
I do. The Colts. Because I just people are acting like Carson Wentz is somehow going to go in there and be great, and I just don't understand why. He was terrible.
I just said it.
He's been terrible for years. Now, look, if he's good, they're interesting. I just have no belief he's going to be good. And I'll be the first to say this, by the way. I could be completely wrong and eat my words on this one. I'm going on a little bit of a limb. He was terrible last year. And to me, unless he's like legitimately good, not better, good, they're a borderline playoff team at best. The Rams I have in the NFC only because if that thing goes south, I think it could go really south. They lost their defensive coordinator from their number one defense. They lost some pieces off that defense. John Johnson, Troy Hill, they both went to the Browns. Okay. I worry about them. You know, Michael Brockers now in Detroit. Like, they lost some guys. Offensively, that line is not great. They lost Austin Blythe. They went to the Chiefs. I have no idea who's playing center for them. And Stafford has been hurt the last couple of years. He's played through it at times, but he's been hurt. I just worry, like, that this is that year where he gets hurt. The defense goes from first in the league to 12th. And it's just a division from hell, and they win six games. Now, they could end up winning 12, but I could see it going wrong in a big way for them if it goes wrong.
The Indy bet, by the way, is more a bet on Frank Reich almost than it is Carson Wentz. You just believe that he knows exactly what he's looking at. He knows Wentz well. He knows his offense well. And he's giving him a little bit more help. They just signed Eric Fisher. So whatever's left in that tank, no one knows. But they're doing their best to fortify that offensive line. Bus candidates for me. I think it's a very odd time in San Francisco right now. Now, they wouldn't exactly be a quote-unquote bust, but I feel like it's a very, very odd offseason for the 49ers. And if they try to get Trey Lance on the field, it just feels like that's going to be really, really, really awkward. Seattle's another candidate for me, too. Like, what exactly is going on? Is that all going to come together perfectly? Same thing with Green Bay, by the way. And I would pick the Packers. Yeah. You know,
Green Bay is interesting because that thing could just be a house on fire by about week three. That is
right. And I would say the same thing with the Pittsburgh Steelers. You know, Ben should have been retired 3 years ago, and they keep leaning into that. At some point, perhaps they just can't figure out ways to win football games. And if the Browns are better and the Ravens continue to be the Ravens, and maybe even the Bengals take a step up, could Pittsburgh fall all the way to the bottom of that division? It wouldn't completely shock me.
By the way, fun note, I'm going to plug this real quick. Tomorrow, when the schedule release comes out at night, about an hour after it comes out, I will have all 272 regular season games picked. and I will have my Super Bowl winner. I already, by the way, I've gone through a lot of this. I know who's in my Super Bowl. I know who's going to win. But I will tell you, I just said the Rams could be a bust. For any Rams fan out there who's annoyed, spoiler alert, I picked them to go to the NFC title game. So I don't think it's going to go badly for them. But if it does, I think it would go really badly. But I like the Rams enough to pick them all the way to the NFC title game.
So you're straddling the Rams fence, Verderam. I'm getting.
I am a little bit with them because it's really about Stafford's health behind that line. That really is kind of where I fall on it.
I would love to see Stafford have a year where he
just plays great.
Yeah, it basically just proves to everybody. See, look, I was stuck in Detroit, and all of you who thought it was my fault, stick it. I've been one of the better quarterbacks in the NFL for a long, long time right now, and I'm getting the opportunity finally to show it. It is time for us to get rich. Hang tight. We'll be right with you. It's Stacking the Box. Let's burn through these real quick. You're in or out. The Giants are the best team in the NFC East.
In.
You're in.
I'm in. Because I think Washington's roster is a little bit better, but I just think they have no quarterback. In Dallas, I have no belief in defensively or on the sideline.
Yeah, well, they need an upgrade in both of those areas from last year. Although their draft was, you know, active as far as adding on to that defense. And Dak's healthy. I think the Cowboys have a chance to very much win that division. But okay, since I just said the Giants are my sleeper, I will be on the in on this one. The Jets will contend seriously for a playoff berth, in or out?
They've been getting some sleeper love, but I'm out. I'm out. I just do not believe that they're all of a sudden going to come roaring back to life this year.
Zach Wilson showing up, taking some snaps already for the Jets. That's exciting, but I'm definitely out on that. Justin Fields will throw for at least 3,000 yards and 20 touchdowns. I talked to one Chicago Bear radio voice who I'll remain nameless right here, but he thinks he's starting in week 3 because it's just going to be that obvious. I'm out on this. I think they buy time and let Andy Dalton play at least half the season, if not more. Where are you going?
In on the yardage, out on the touchdowns. Just because, they don't have enough red zone weaponry. I think he'll throw like 18 touchdowns. I think he's going to play pretty much right away.
So you think he's going to be out there right away?
I got him for like 3,500 passing yards, 18 touchdowns, 10 picks, something like that.
That'd be really, really entertaining if that's how it goes. The Texans are the best bet to have the number one overall pick in 2022. I'm seeing Deshaun Watson trade rumors out there. Also some interesting developments with him that even when he knew he was under some level of investigation, I'm not exactly how much he knew, but he was still going on Groupon and getting massages for $55. I mean, he literally goes on Groupon.
The man needs to get off Groupon for everything.
You're Deshaun Watson. You don't use Groupon. That's bizarre.
It's not good. I'm in on them being the worst team. I thought about Detroit for a brief second, but the Texans, man, I don't know that they're going to win two games. If Watson doesn't play this year, they may not win two games. So I'm in on them being the worst.
See, I think he's going to play, so I'll be out on it. I think that gets resolved to maybe he gets some level of suspension, but the way things seem to be trickling right now, I'm actually doubting that he will. What's going on, Verderam? I'll start with myself. I'm interviewing B.A. Baracus / Clubber Lang / the one and only Mr. T.
It's amazing.
Prediction pain. T, man.
I want you to ask him for me, does he still pity the fool? Or has he gotten over his pity for the fool?
Which of these, who do you pity the fool the most of these people? I was thinking about doing something like that.
That's fine, too. Listen, I know you're up against it, so I will be brief here. We all know what's going on with me. Go, New York. Go, New York. Go, okay? They went to L.A. They beat the Clippers without Alec Burks or Emmanuel Quickley or Mitchell Robinson, and the Clippers played everybody, and the Knicks held them to 100 points, and about 10 of those were in the final minute when it was a lost cause. R.J. Barrett, great defense, but bearing the lead, which feels like it's every game, Derrick Rose, 25 points, shot 11 of 15. Just over and over. And it is becoming almost to a point now where if he doesn't score 20, I'm stunned. So he's rolling. Reggie Bullock, who I hated at the beginning of the year, 24 points. He's now like well over 40% from downtown. Great defender on the perimeter. The Knicks playing the Lakers and LeBron tonight on national TV. Got flexed in there. They come home for three at the Garden. If they go 3-1, they're going to be the fourth seed, which I think they're actually going to do.
You want to, at least I think you want to. You want to play Atlanta in that first round, where they're the five or
I
the four,
so.
And they're a game up on the Heat, who are the sixth seed. I don't think you want to get in a matchup with Miami, the defending.
I'll tell you who doesn't want Miami. No, sorry to interrupt you. Brooklyn, yeah. They want no part of Miami.
I agreed.
Because my Bam's a problem for them inside, and Miami can defend the hell out of them.
Brooklyn does not want to play a physical team, and the Heat will do it, which is the Knicks actually match up better that way. But
if
the
Knicks ever beat Brooklyn, the Nets have to move back to New Jersey.
It's funny. My buddy Steve Gruthius, who loves this podcast, aka the Gru City Grubler, who's a huge Knicks fan. I've never heard a guy despise the Nets like that. Like, I'm like, why do you hate the Nets? Because like, they're just so stupid.
They don't belong in New York. Now, like, that being said, I don't hate them or anything. But if they're such a stepchild to the Knicks, if the Knicks play them in the playoffs, I would pick the Nets in five, by the way. Okay, to be totally transparent. The Nets are just better than the Knicks. But if the Knicks ever beat them, man, all 12 Nets fans would have to eat that to the end of time. But hey, look. The hell with the Nets. Knicks went on this six-game West Coast trip. Everybody thought they were going to get pummeled. They're 3-2, going to play the Lakers. They come home for the Spurs, the Hornets, and the Celtics, who are in the tank. Okay, I love it, man. They're playing great. They're playing absolutely great ball. And if they end up being the fourth seed and they get Atlanta, like, I respect Atlanta. Atlanta can score, but they don't really defend. I would feel like the Knicks could win that series.
It'll be a lot of fun. Whoever the Knicks play in the first round, I'll be watching big time. Can't wait for it. Tibbs, D Rose, come on, Taj.
COVID aside, man, pack the Garden.
Let's do go. It. Yeah, let's go.
Test everybody. Whatever. Do it. Pack it. That place will be out of its mind. It would be unreal.
Get the technology going. I don't understand why it isn't automatically like on your phone that you've gotten two vaccinations. And if you can show that, you're allowed in the Garden. If you don't have it, sorry.
Right.
Your decision in life, no problem. You don't do what you want to do, I guess. But you ain't coming to see the Knicks in the playoffs or any other NBA team in the playoffs. Verteram, enjoy your schedule release day. The coverage on FanSided is always awesome. It's going to be awesome tomorrow, so please check it out. Subscribing to the podcast is awesome if you haven't done that. Rating the podcast is sweet as hell. We love you. Verteram, you get the final word.
Go Knicks. Go Knicks. And enjoy the schedule release Wednesday night. If you're not sure when, it's at 8 p.m. Eastern. Check out my piece where I pick all 272 games. It's a mammoth. And for the love of God, please make it worth my time by checking it out. I appreciate it. And by the way, we did not forget about your submissions about what we should do for our bet. I promise we will get back to it. There's a lot of them. I appreciate everybody who rated. We have three submissions. In fact, here, real quick. So the one, Josh, the man, yes, the man, says, agreed with Carm's take, but no clothes jumping in the lake. Sir, we're not getting arrested for this. Should see me without clothes, including me.
We could go Speedo to his point, and that would be absolutely and utterly atrocious.
We could, but my God, we'd still get arrested. Clint McKenzie, our guy, says, excellence. Podcast is top notch. I will never miss it. Now, as for your bet, he who loses the field's bet should don a clown suit and silver face paint, then be stationed in a public place of the victor's choosing for a stint as a silent, motionless statue. He would thereby become a living, breathing monument to his own poor judgment. That is hilarious. We have to consider that.
That's terrifying.
We'll consider. Finally, last one here by 8347. Fantastic pod list every week. Both guys are great. Really enjoy it. For the bet, I think it needs to be humiliating if you are each that sure of your position. So the loser has to go to a professional hairdresser and acquire the haircut of the winner's choosing. A picture of the loser's face and haircut is then slapped on a Stack in the Box hoodie and made available for purchase to all the Stack in the Box listeners. Keep up the great work. All right, look, I know you're up against it. We got to go. We will talk about those. Thank you so much. And if you haven't already, submit them. Keep coming. We will figure out this bet one way or the other. Carm, ask Mr. T if he still pities the fool. Good luck to you with this interview. And thanks, everyone who listens. Hopefully your schedule for your team is favorable.